Chapter 1. "This doesn't feel like it's going to work," Chris said. "Little tight," Ned said. "For goodness sakes," Holly said, "I've never heard so much hemming and hawing." "Really," Rosie said. "What it is, they're afraid to expose their inner selves." Finch said, "Okay, people, let's focus, if we may. We have our first handout." Holly took the folder from him and distributed the paperwork. The only one who hadn't said anything, pro or con, was the new guy, Ralph Salvatore. This was a New York guy Ned referenced last Sunday, who happened to show up in Manhattan Beach looking, as Ned put it, for a little clarification on the events that transpired back there. Throwing a monkey wrench on any real celebration that Kenny was out of his jam on the End My Husband deal. The Kenny part was still fine, that wasn't it, but now you couldn't relax otherwise. Those events being Chris's cross-country excursion to Manhattan, Yonkers, and specifically a little sliver of the Bronx that you didn't know existed called City Island. This was a month ago, give or take. Chris ended up maneuvering a guy named Paulie Albanese's face into a gas-fired barbecue grill he was tending to on the wraparound patio of his house on Early Street, half a block from Long Island Sound. In fact, Chris hadn't dwelled on it at the time, but the view was impressive. You had the bay and then the city in the distance, crystal clear. You could name the famous buildings, and beyond all that, you had the Statue of Liberty sticking up. At least he thought so. That part was a little fuzzy. The other thing he hadn't focused on that night, since it was pretty imperative to get the hell out of there, but unfortunately had been reminded of a few times since, was Paulie's flesh did give off its own aroma when it met the coals. At any rate, Chris had been doing a favor for Ned, which would have been highly unlikely given their initial relationship, except Ned had gone out on a limb for Chris with the serial doofus, no apparent strings attached, and Ned hadn't wanted Chris to do the favor, tried to stop him, but when it was over, Ned was admittedly relieved. Except for now, they had this Ralph in town, which you wouldn't characterize as illogical fallout. Chris hadn't known much about Paulie Albanese, except that he was hounding Ned about something, and it was coming to a crossroads. His guess would be Paulie wasn't like a mafia godfather or Don, nothing that level for God's sakes, but he wasn't a two-bit street thug either. So Chris figured he'd be opening a can of worms, and sooner or later there'd be a ripple effect, and here you were now. What could you do? He'd met Ralph a couple nights ago in the Crow's Nest, the guy one of those roly-poly types who laughed a lot and his midsection jiggled, and for all you knew on the surface, it was old home week around here for Ned. In fact, Ned had told Chris, when he'd introduced them that night, that they'd known each other since third grade. And could Chris figure out Ralph's nickname? Ralph seemed embarrassed, and Chris said, "Number one, that's a dumb question, especially with no hint whatsoever. And number two, he doesn't want to go there." "Do you?" Ned said to Ralph. Ralph tilted his head like whatever, and Ned said, "The elevator." Ralph did smile a little, and Chris said, "So your last name, they sort of rhymed it?" "Sure," Ned said, "that's part of it, but this son of a bitch could dunk a basketball. I mean, not in third grade, but eventually, before he gained the weight where you see him now." Ralph put a hand up. "I couldn't technically dunk it. I could roll it over the rim." Chris saw that he did have real big hands, could likely palm the ball easily, among other things. And here you had these two old buddies getting ready to tell East Yonkers playground stories. Chris decided he was too old to be dancing around stuff, and he said to Ralph, "So what brings you out here, man?" Leaving out what Ned told him about Ralph clarifying things. Ralph was smooth, you had to give him that. "Not much," he said. "We're working a real estate deal in Portland, so I'm on your coast anyway. So why not drop down and see my old friend Nettie? He's extended the invitation for what, 4 or 5 years? "I've been here 12, Ned said. "In fact, 14 counting Hollywood. You never took me up on it until now." Ralph shrugged his shoulders, so Chris said to Ned, "You say Hollywood? That's when you were trying to act? I think you mentioned something about that first time." "This guy," Ned said to Ralph, "we first make our acquaintance on the Strand. A ladies' beach volleyball match is underway." "You believe the first words out of his mouth? How do the bikinis stay on? All the leaping and lunging and diving they're doing." "That's a fair question," Ralph said. "How do they?" "How do I know?" Ned said. "You'll have to ask one of them." "A different answer than you gave me back then," Chris said. "It's nice here," Ralph said. "You're right. I should have visited sooner." He was arching his head to the left slightly, where you had the view of the ocean through the middle window during the day. But even at night, there were a few lights out there and you were aware of it. Soon Ned excused himself and headed to his corner table and met with someone, and Ralph took a seat at the bar, and you had both Cindy and Rory back there waitressing tonight, which hadn't been the case in a while, and it would have been a perfectly comfortable scene if it didn't include Ralph. Now Finch was asking for a show of hands for something, and Chris couldn't quite believe he was in this situation, and he couldn't pinpoint exactly who talked him into it. They were in Finch's motel room of all places. Finch pacing around, holding a clipboard, and Rosie and Holly on the bed, and Chris and Ned and Ralph in these folding chairs that Finch said he borrowed from the breakfast buffet. Finch said, "Good then. Do I have a volunteer to lead off?" "I'll go," Rosie said. What was happening, they got railroaded into a writing class. Or Chris got railroaded into it. And Ned was told to join the fun, and amazingly Ned did, and he recruited Rosie. They had found out this guy Finch was a semi-famous writer once, meaning back in the 80s, when books were a bigger deal, and Holly had started looking at him as a mentor, and admittedly Chris got in the act as well, trying to get him unstuck on that final novel he supposedly had in him, called Monty something or other. Then it started as a joke, this part, Holly telling Finch, "Hey, you should teach a little workshop." And Finch laughed it off like you're out of your mind, and that was a couple weeks ago, and here everyone was. Looking around the room, and man, it was stuffy in here, the one component you wouldn't have pictured was Ralph. Even Ned, you figured, okay, he might have a story or two in him, but Ralph? And Chris figured it was Ned dragging him along, or it may have been as simple as Ralph was bored tonight. This was a Friday evening, April 6, 2018 now, 14 months since he'd gotten his diagnosis, or 427 days to be exact. And Chris was feeling a notch more confident every week that he was out of the woods. And fine, he'd gone along with Finch's pre-first class assignment and written a one-paragraph summary of a novel that, quote, he could see someone writing about him. It wasn't very good. He hoped he wouldn't get laughed at. But meanwhile, he had to admit it could be interesting to hear what the others came up with. And Rosie stood up and cleared her throat and started off. "If a person wrote a novel about me, he would make me one of those performers you could see at the circus who fly on the trapeze. When I was 8, my mom took me. It was downtown, the Garden. The announcer was very loud, not just for the high trapeze part, but for all of it. After, My mom complained about the noise to some person, and they gave her a number to call. I don't remember this. She told me a lot later. People shifted around a little, and Chris assumed they were waiting for more, which he was too. And then it took Rosie a minute to sit back down, which added to the possibility. But then she did plop back onto the bed. Finch cleared his throat and said, "Well, Rose, I call that a wonderful start." Geez, him now with the Rose business too, and this was a thing. Chris already felt a bit out of the loop, even though it was he who started the dang loop. Bringing Rosie here from West Harlem to ostensibly get a fresh start, and being the one to hook up with Finch too, when he asked him to hold the valuables on the pier as a prelude to he and the other idiot jumping off it. "I second that," Holly said, pinching Rosie on the shoulder. "Wonderful premise. I'm seeing several directions the line can take." "Well, thank you so much," Rosie said. "What happened when your mom complained?" Ned said. Chris said, "Yeah, that. And the line?" "Storyline," Holly said. "Plot points. And whether we're talking omniscient narrator, stream of consciousness, or another point of delivery, it's all fascinating." "You're full of shit," Chris said. "I agree," Ralph said, who you didn't expect to hear from. "But anyways," he said, "I like this setup. Reminds me when my Uncle Rocky took us there. We're about the same age. Took the train from Eastchester to 42nd Street. Then we had to walk, though." "Same thing then," Rosie said. "Me and everyone, we took the one train. Though you could change to the express at 96th. "Where'd you grow up at?" Ralph said. "Let's stay on course if we may," Finch said. "Not that the backstories aren't interesting. But who is next?" "I'm fine," Holly said, and she stayed seated on the bed and pulled a folded-up paper out of her purse. She seemed tense. "I'm a wife in a bad relationship. The setting is 1950s Culpeper, Virginia. My husband is cheating on me and barely attempting to disguise it. I wish to cheat on him too, but I'm unable to." And it proceeds from there. Again, you could hear Finch clear his throat. This time he paced a bit more, and you assumed he was formulating some positive commentary, but meanwhile, Ned spoke up. "I like it," he said. "I do too," Chris said. "That makes three," Ralph said. "I'd keep reading, at least till it slowed down." Finch said, "An interesting point. How would it proceed to slow down ineffectively, in your view?" Rosie said, "Why can't the woman cheat on the man?" "I haven't established that yet," Holly said. "You mean she wants to," Ned said, "but can't come up with a willing partner?" "Or she screwed up physically," Chris said, "and has the partner, but can't." "Or mentally maybe too," Rosie said. "She wants to, how you call, intellectually. But there's a little light bulb that holds her back." Holly said, "I hadn't thought of it that way, but gosh, that may be the best one." "Which one were you leaning toward?" Chris said. "Ned's way. But I see now that was dull and cliched compared to Rosie's way." Ralph said to Finch, "Answering your question, it would slow down when she started thinking about stuff too much instead of doing shit." Chris said, "Why the Culpeper, Virginia? You ever been there? I mean, is it even a real place?" "I have not," Holly said, "but I believe I've heard of it, so it must be real." Ned said to Holly, "You ever been to a shrink?" And more shifting around and another throat or two being cleared. And Holly said, "That's a nervy question. I'd ask what gives you the right, but I guess I don't mind." "No need to upset the apple cart, hun," Finch said. "No one's unwillingly on stage here." Chris didn't care for the hun, but it was what it was. Finch was a harmless old guy with some new life injected into him, and it wasn't surprising that he and Holly had developed a benevolent uncle relationship. Holly said, "I'm fine with it. We're among friends, I feel. Yes, I have been in therapy." Ned took a moment. "Only reason I ask," he said, "your type setup, isn't that what the psychoanalytical folks have a field day with?" "I see what he's saying," Ralph said. "Could there be more to it?" "Like a dream, you mean," Rosie said. "How would it be explained? Like you're a human being now in this room, but you go to a different direction and create a different world, but it's still you in it. And what's the reason?" "Oh boy," Chris said. "I love to say that I'll ask my therapist for an interpretation, but we cut ties 2 years ago," Holly said. "Good move," Ralph said. "You look fine." "He's probably right," Ned said. "Could very well be," Chris said. "Next," Finch said. "I got it," Ned said, and he stood up and found what he needed on his phone and started reading. "My guy," and you want it to be me, so fine. "My guy's Czechoslovakian. On his 21st birthday, he gets a trip together, go back there and find his roots. I should have said he lives in Florida. The problem being, though, there isn't any more Czechoslovakia. He finds out they dissolved it. There was a revolution in 1992, it turns out, which he should have paid attention to in school, but he didn't. And they disposed of the place, or deposed it, or the government, however you phrase it. So anyways, he gets to the airport, finds this out, and the check-in girl is quite nice, explains they didn't get rid of it exactly, they just split it into two. My guy gets this, but it's not the same now. Finding his roots is shot, and he doesn't want to travel. But he asked the check-in girl, how about we get a drink when you get off work? Ned waited. Holly spoke first. "That's a novel," she said. "In there somewhere, I was thinking, uh-huh," Ned said. "No?" "I think it's brilliant," Finch said, and you could see him right away regretting the use of that word, implying he liked it better than the other two. "I wish I thought of it," Rosie said. "In a different form, of course." "I think it's a bunch of gobbledygook," Chris said. "But I have to go next." "So your honest opinion is worse?" Ned said. Chris said, "My honest opinion is all that buildup, when all your guy is seeking out, is a piece of ass." "I would agree," Ralph said. "Well, I wanted to redirect it that way, yeah," Ned said. "I don't know enough about other countries to keep it interesting." Finch said, "Chris, can you conclude for us tonight?" "Do I have to stand?" Chris said, "because I really didn't have a chance to put much thought into this." "Listen to this guy," Ned said. "Yeah, now the shoe's on the other foot," Holly said. "We had more time than you?" "Yes, get real, Chris," Rosie said. "Our ones so far, they sounded like we worked on them for days." "You definitely didn't," Ralph said, nodding. Finch raised a hand again. "Before we hear what Christopher has to offer, I will say from personal experience, positive and negative, that often the first incarnation of an idea works best." "What I think you're getting at," Ned said, "is like those achievement tests in school. If your first inclination is B, then don't overthink it into D." "Exactly," Finch said. "James Joyce would work all day trying to get one sentence just so. Marcel Proust, for one, could write half a dozen chapters in the same time." This ground any momentum to a halt. Chris afraid Finch was going to continue on this tangent, especially if anyone prompted him further. "Okay, we get it," Chris said. "My deal, well, here goes, what can you do? My character is Archie. That's me disguised, I guess, is how we're working it. Archie doesn't have a lot of friends, so he joins a chess club. This is in Kansas City, where he ends up after running out of gas while running away from alimony payments in Oregon. He's the worst chess player in the club, but that's okay. Because he starts getting more attention, people trying to help him, than if he was the best player. One guy in particular tries to help him the most, gives him a couple books on basic strategy, and Chris thanks the guy by inviting him and his family to a pool party. He doesn't own a house, of course, it's an apartment complex, but still. So the guy does show up with his family, but one of his kids is wild and mixes it up with another kid in the complex. So the other kid's dad comes down to the pool and Archie's chess guest dad confronts this guy. By now, some drinking's been going on, at least with the chess dad, and the two of them kind of bear hug and plunge into the pool with their clothes on. Archie knows he should do something, but he also wants to see how it unfolds. So he just sits there on the chaise lounge. And long story short, the one guy drowns. Oh, no. Which guy? Rosie said. The guy who lives there, Chris said. But let me finish. They think he drowns. They drag him out and lay him on the side of the pool. There's a crowd by now, and some little guy pushes his way to the front and does something to the guy's chest and stomach too, and son of a gun, the guy spits out water and is okay. That it? Ned said. Almost. Archie thinks he recognizes the little guy and that the guy's been tailing him from Oregon. So the next day, Archie tries to get back at the guy by asking his girlfriend out on a date. She refuses, so Archie gets in the car and moves on. Probably to Little Rock, Arkansas. That's not clear yet. Finch said finally. Anyone? Not really, Holly said. Nope, Ned said. Except you use my part, the guy putting on the moves. But the dude's own girlfriend, isn't that kind of out of bounds? Especially when he did you a favor and saved your friend, Rosie said. Not his friend necessarily, but I hear you, Ralph said. That was about it. Holly brought out the usual cookies that Chris assumed were part of these meetup deals, and Rosie helped Finch bring 6 little cups of coffee back from the machine they had in the lobby. And everyone shot the breeze about trivial stuff, the Dodgers' outfield prospects after they traded Matt Kemp, the new regulations in Manhattan Beach where you had to walk your bike on select parts of the Strand because some guy got run over, a 4th ice cream shop opening in town, and how was it going to make it? Well, I have to say, this has been better than I expected, Ned said. He got me thinking different ways here. And he thanked Finch, and the others did too, including Ralph. And Finch asked Ralph if he wanted to contribute a novel idea of his own, even informally. And Ralph said no, but that he'd take a rain check, but maybe next week. Finch gave out the next assignment, which was to skip ahead and write the very final scene of your novels, where you finish it off with the end. I must say, Terry, Holly said, that goes against the grain of your personal approach, does it not? It does indeed, Finch said, and he left it at that, and Chris figured that's what a good instructor does sometimes. He keeps you off balance, and that's never the worst thing.